Well, good morning. Look at you, looking good. Is everybody this good looking in Denmark, or is it just you? Just you. That's exactly what I thought. Oh, so awesome to be here, and what a privilege. What a privilege to speak to all the Danish people this morning. And I feel so blessed by that. And all of our Hillsong South Africa family sends their love and says hello to all of our Denmark family. How good is that? You've got family all over the world. Is that the best? I think it's amazing. It's amazing what we get to be a part of, isn't it? And so how blessed am I to get to speak to all of you? Isn't that wonderful? You should just tell the person next to you, I'm so glad to be sitting next to you today. And tell the other person, I'm even more glad to be sitting next to you today. Okay, you can be seated. High five about five people around you. Thank you to our worship team. Awesome job this morning. I love that song. Do you love that song they sang, that worship song? Unto the one who has rescued my soul. I cannot understand why they don't let me be in the worship team, but never mind. Now, I want to say before I begin, a huge thank you to Pastor Thomas and Pastor Kat Hansen. Oh, yeah. How awesome are your pastors? You know, yeah, give them a hand. You know, I love Thomas and Kat so much. They have been in our world for a long time now, and they've become awesome friends of ours. And Thomas preached it up. I'm telling you, he is an awesome preacher. He preached so incredible in our nation. He imparted something. Everybody loved him. Everyone went crazy. And I feel very honored that he would allow me to speak to all of you today. And we truly love this. It's easy to get familiar with what's there every week. And so I want to encourage you, never get familiar with Thomas and Kat. Never get familiar with each other. Never get familiar with the Lord. Never get familiar with church. Everybody say, never get familiar. Everybody say, wow. You know, you've always got to live with wow. Do you say that in Denmark? Wow. Say it backwards. Wow, there you go. Always live with a wow about your life. It's an awesome way to live. Okay, are you ready for the Word of God? I preached a different message in the first service. So I believe actually I was so torn. Will I do the same message or a different message? But I thought I'm going to do a different message. And then what you need to do is you need to get the message from the first service and listen to that, because I believe it's a word for church. I believe it's a word for your nation. And you can listen to that and you can also hear this one. So you get the best of both worlds. Okay, I'm going to pray. Is that all right? Okay, Father God, we commit this service to you, Lord, and I pray that you would speak to me today and speak through me today. And Father, I pray that the words that I speak, Father, would enlarge us, would stretch us, would strengthen us, would compel us, Father, to live the life that you have called us to live. Nothing less than your very, very best, we pray, Father. Lord, use every word that's spoken today to impact every life here. In Jesus' name, and a faith-filled church said... Amen. I can say one sentence in Danish. It's a very important sentence. It's the only sentence I can say, and it is, yay, elsker dig. How'd I go? Was that right? Yay, elsker dig. Yay, elsker dig. I even say it with the accent. Yay, elsker dig. That means I love you, doesn't it? I love you, all of you, or you. Is it you, singular, or all of you? Singular. Oh, nice. Individual. See? Okay, have you got your Bibles? Have you got your notebooks? Are you ready? Okay, well, a little while ago, a gentleman came to our church and he preached a message. I'm not quite sure what it was. It was awesome. But he did put this quote. He put this quote up. And the minute I saw this, something in my spirit was like, man, that is awesome. And I'm going to put the quote up. This is what he said. You will never become extraordinary unless you are willing to do what the ordinary person is not willing to do. Keep it up there for a minute. You will never become extraordinary unless you are willing, everybody say willing, to do what the ordinary person is not willing, say willing, to do. Do you know, church, I believe for too long, people have said you have to be super talented to change the world. Or people have said you have to be super gifted to change the world. Or people have said you have to have some kind of X factor about your life if you're going to change the world. But do you know what I want to declare today? I actually don't believe that to be true. I believe people who are willing can actually change the world. That's what it takes. It doesn't take a necessarily super spiritual person or a super talented person or a super X factor person. I believe, church, it takes a super willing person who says, man, I am willing and I can change the world. So I've called my message this morning, the power of your willingness. The power of your willingness. The power of your willingness. Never underestimate, church. Never underestimate the power of your willingness to change the world. Why are you listening to me today? Who am I in the grand scheme of this world? Let's be honest. Let's think about it for a minute. Who am I? Why would you even be listening to my voice? Have any of you ever met me? Do any of you really know who I am? Do you know where I've come from? Do you know my life? Do you know the actual reason that you're listening to me today? Is it because of my five talents? Is it because of my superstardom? Is it because of my awesomeness? The reason that you're listening to me today is purely one thing, is my willingness. That is why you're listening to me today. It's because of my willingness. And I want to say, I think life is far more about your availability than it is about your ability. Put it in your notes. The greatness of your life is far more about your availability than it is about your ability. And do you know, church, I say this, you can only be extraordinary if you really understand the power of the ordinary. If you understand the power of the ordinary, you can truly be extraordinary. And I want to say to every one of you, if I was having a cup of tea with you today and it was you and I at the table, I would tell you this, that you are called to be extraordinary. It is not for one special person. It is not for a couple, a little unique group. It's not for a little posse over here. It is for every single one of you who says, man, Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of my life. I believe then he puts his hand upon you and he says, ask of me and I will give you the nations. I will set you apart. I will use your life for greatness. If he says that, what does that mean? It just means he's looking for people that are willing to make a difference on the world today. If you are willing, you can be extraordinary. Does anybody believe that this morning? Never underestimate the power of your willingness. Now, I want to say there's three things that I believe would try and hijack your willingness. Three things that would try to hijack your willingness. Number one thing that would try to hijack your willingness is your comfort. Do you know my little boy is 10 years old and he is awesome. His name is Zachariah Joseph Philip Dooley. I couldn't decide, so I called him all of the names. I like all of them. Zachariah Joseph Philip Dooley. He's 10 years old, and he loves to sleep. You know, he goes to bed at night. And then in South Africa, you have to be through the gate for school at 7:30 in the morning. So that's an early start for kids. So I get up at 6 o'clock, and I go into Zach, and I say, Zachy, I give him a little shake. Zachy, it's time to get up now. And he, oh. And I'm like, come on, babe, you've got to get up. And then I leave him. I know I've done my first wake up. I go and do a few things. And I come back, Zach, you've actually got to get up now. It's getting later. It's like 15 minutes later. It's now 6:15. I'm going to get up in 1 minute. And then I go back in. It's 6:45. He's still in bed. I'm like, man, pull that blanket off him. I pull the duvet off him. I get my water pistol out and I start squirting him. No, not really. And I say, man, you've got to get up. You've got 15 minutes to be downstairs, had your breakfast and in the car. And then what is happening to him? His comfort in his cozy little bed is hijacking his willingness. And do you know what, church? The exact same thing happens to us in the church. What happens? It's just like this. I'm just going to act it out. Take the shoes off. This is what happens in the church. You know what? You know God's calling you. You know you're called to make a difference. You know it's the power of your willingness. If you want to be extraordinary, you've got to be willing to do what the ordinary person is not willing to do. But then comfort comes along. Comfort comes along. And you just take your shoes off and you get a little bit comfortable. And you know what? You're living your life. Don't actually need my jacket. You boys can take that. And then you get into your comfort zone. And you just snuggle on in. Isn't this right? And you're like, man, I know I should do something. I should go and encourage someone even. Imagine if I had a cup of tea with someone who needed it. Imagine if I called someone who was new to church. Or imagine if I like shared my faith with someone who's never heard. But you're like, oh man, I don't know if I could do that. It's pretty a little bit comfortable here. And you just snuggle in. And you know what? The more comfortable you get, like my little boy in bed, the more comfortable you get, you just snuggle in there. I can't get him out of bed. You cozy on in. Put the blanket over you, and you snuggle up, and you're like, oh man, this is awesome. And you hide away from the world, even though you know God's called you to do something great, but you get a little bit comfortable, and it gets very cold in Denmark in winter, and it's snowing, and you can't go outside. You've got to lock yourself in and just hide away. Do you know, I'm being silly, but I'm also being genuine. This is what can happen to people. And everything in you wants to make a difference. And everything in you wants to change the world. And you know God has called you, but there's something that's trying to hijack your willingness and it's called your comfort. And do you know what, church? We've got to arrest our comfort. We've got to look at our comfort. We've got to call our comfort for what it is. And we've got to make a decision, man. I don't care what it takes. I'm going to break out of my comfort zone. I'm going to stand on it. I'm going to trample it. I'm going to like jump on it and kill it and put it under my feet. I'm going to stamp it down to the ground. I am going to get rid of comfort because comfort, all comfort is going to do is cripple you. God is calling you for this big life and you're so busy snuggling under a blanket because it's too comfortable that he's saying, man, if only you would stand up, if only you would open the door and walk out the door, if only you would cross the street, if only you would say a word, if only you'd get here an hour early, if only you'd stay an hour late, if only you'd share your faith one more time. Do you know what I'm saying, church? We've got to break out of comfort because if we can be extraordinary and what's trying to hijack us is our comfort, then we've got to kill our comfort. And do you know, Jesus faced the exact same thing. He faced this. Have a look at it with me in Luke chapter 22. This is Jesus. He's about to face the cross. Okay, he's about to face crucifixion. And look at what happens here. Then accompanied by his disciples, Jesus left the upstairs room and he went as usual to the Mount of Olives. And there he told them, pray that you will not give in to temptation. And he walked away about a stone's throw. He knelt down and prayed. Father, he says, look at this. Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. He says, yet I want your will. What was Jesus saying here? He was saying this, it's not about my pleasure. It's not about my pleasure. It's not about my desire. It's not about my cravings. It's not about what pleases me. That's what this word will means. It actually means it's not about my pleasure. It's not about my cravings. It's not about my desire. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. How profound is that? Jesus faced the exact same temptation or hijack that you and I face. We can get so comfortable. If ever I feel myself getting comfortable now, I'm like, man, get me out there. I want to get out on the cold front again. I want to do something that makes me feel scared. I want to do something that's awkward. So much so last week, I messaged a girl in our church and I said, man, get us, she's a girl that works in the communities. And I said, get us back into these communities because I don't want to ever get so professional in my church life that I forget the people that we're trying to reach and the people that we're trying to impact. And I pray that we'll always be like that as a church. It's not about superstars. It's about the willingness of people's hearts to make a difference. And if we are willing, God will do something extraordinary. That's what it takes. It's so easy if everyone just steps in. But you cannot let comfort hijack your willingness. Number two thing that would hijack your willingness. The number two thing that I think hijacks our willingness is fear. Fear, would it not? Fear, would it not try to hijack us every time? And do you know there's a story in the Bible, if I could just have three volunteers, just any three, you three here, this is awesome. Three volunteers, this is how the story goes. In Matthew chapter 25, awesome scripture in the Bible. You three just stand there. We'll read a little bit of this together. Yep, just face everyone. That's awesome. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted money to them while he was gone. He gave five bags of silver to one. Okay, this gentleman here, legend, look at him. Last time he was Joshua or Caleb? He was Caleb. This guy here, then it says here, he gave five bags of silver to one, two bags of silver to this legend, look at him. Two bags of silver here, and then look at this, and to the two bags of silver to the other, and one bag of silver to this beautiful legend. This is how the story goes. One bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. And then he left on a long trip. He left for a long time. Long time. Then he comes back. And then we'll go to verse 25. So it says this. Oh no, go back a bit, sorry. Go back to where you were. I'll read a little bit more. Then it says this. Then the servant who received the five bags of talent began to invest. He began to invest the money and he earned five more. And then the servant who had two bags, what did he do? He also began to invest and he earned two more. Then you have the one. He's got one talent here. One talent. Do you know every single one of you in here has got some kind of ability? Some kind of ability. I feel when I read this story, I'm not saying this so you all feel sorry for me. If I read it, I don't identify here. I couldn't find, oh my gosh, I'm an awesome singer. I'm a great dancer. I'm an awesome leader. I'm a fantastic preacher. I'm like super talented personality. I'm like funny. I couldn't actually identify here when I was growing up, but I could identify here. I could identify here. I'm like, man, I remember saying to the Lord, what is it? What is my one talent? And then I remember God saying to me, you can talk to someone. I remember him saying, you can talk to someone. That was my one talent. Imagine if I had never taken it and never used it. And I remember there was a girl in our church and she would sit in a big warehouse room at the very back of the room. And I remember turning my head and I saw this girl and I thought, okay, I'm going to make her my friend. I'm going to use my one talent and I'm going to impact her life with my one talent. So I turned around and I remember at the end of the meeting, I went up and I said, hi, what's your name? She told me her name. Long story short, she was one of those girls that couldn't sit through a meeting. She would be in and out and having another smoke and back again, having another smoke, back again. And I thought, okay, we're going to become friends. And I used to take her home to my house at weekends and we used to hang out together. I found out when she was young, her father had shot her in the stomach. And she had been really terribly sexually abused in her life. So when I heard this, I thought, man, this can't be true. I got to go and investigate. I'm a bit of an investigator. So I go and meet her mum, and her dad was in prison. And I went to her house. She lived in a little house in Parramatta. And I remember going to her house and visiting her mum. And I saw her where her mum lived, and her father was in prison. And her mum lived in a little house in Parramatta with her boy and her girl. And do you know what? It's never ever left me, that story. Because I remembered something. If you can take whatever one talent you've got and invest it into the life of someone else. It actually says invest it, not give it away. It says invest it into the life of someone else. God will do something incredible with it. So I take you back a bit. Why are you listening to me today? It's because I've been willing, but it's also because I've taken the one talent, not the five talents, the one talent that I did have. I've given it away to someone else. And you know what? God looks upon it. And I believe he gives you more. Yeah. But look what happens. Look, thank you to all our volunteers. They're awesome. Legends. Look what happens here in the story. We go on. But the servant who received one bag of silver, the one who received one bag of silver, dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip, called them to give an account of how they had used the money. And the servant to whom he entrusted the five bags of silver came forward with five more and said, "Master, you gave me five bags of silver to invest. I've earned five more." The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You're faithful in handling small. I will give you more responsibility." They celebrate together. The servant who had received two bags of silver came forward. "Master, you gave me two bags. I've invested it." And then he earned more. The master said, "Well done, good and faithful servant, for handling the small amount. So now I give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Then the master with one bag of silver came and he said to the master, I knew you to be a harsh man, harvesting crops where you didn't plant and gathering crops where you didn't cultivate. I was afraid that I would lose your money, so I hid it in the ground." Now listen, church, I just want to encourage your heart. Do not let comfort hijack your willingness, and do not let fear hijack your willingness. Everything, just so you know, everything I do it afraid. Every Sunday, I close my eyes, it's Sunday again. I'm like, "Help me, Jesus." I'm like, "Coming to church today. I'm coming to church today. I got to speak twice to people I don't know. Help me, Jesus." Do you know what? It would be so easy to say, "I'm afraid. I can't do that." And I want to encourage you. I have seen people over the course of my life in church do this, that thing. "I can't run a connect group. I'm too scared. I don't think I'd have anything to say. I'm too scared. I couldn't step out in faith and do that. I'm too scared. I couldn't share my faith with that person because what are they going to think?" And can I just encourage your heart, church? If God is going to change Denmark and Europe and the whole world, and we're going to pray prayers like we've prayed all our life, "God, give us the nations," He can't do it through a company of people who are living afraid. He needs people that are willing to say, like T.D. Jakes said this profound thing. He said, "It is time to bury our fear and expose our talent. It is no longer time to expose our fear and bury our talent." And I pray, church, that we will be in a church. Let's expose our talent, however little it is, and let's bury our fear. Even so, like whenever I have to get up and speak now or do something like that, that I used to find overwhelming, people would often say, "Oh, you're going to bring such a great word." And I would find myself saying, "Oh no, I don't think I am. And I don't know what I'm going to say. And I'm freaking out. I'm going to lose it." Yeah. Do you know what? I actually had to stop saying that. So if people say, "You're going to preach a great word," I say, "Thank you." Everything in me is wanting to say, "Ah!" But I said, "No, thank you. Thank you. That's awesome. I receive it. Thank you. I receive it. I pray so. Hope so. God be with me. Jesus, help me. Jesus, take the wheel." I always say, "Jesus, take the wheel." But do you know what? I think it's time, church, that we bury our fear and expose our talent, and then God can take a hold of us as a church and He can raise us up and He can send us out. And I pray that we will be a fearless people. That's why I think it's said in Joshua chapter 1, 8 times, "Be strong and very courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Be strong and very courageous." Because he understood in chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, he had battles to fight, victories to come, and things to overcome and things to persevere and land to take. And he needed people that were going to bury their fear and expose their talent. And I pray, church, that's the kind of church we'll be. We will not let comfort hijack our willingness. We will not let fear hijack our willingness. And number three hijacker to our willingness is our own stubbornness. Anyone guilty? Our own stubbornness and our own sin. And you think, sin, sin is just missing the mark. I've got to show you something about King Solomon. King Solomon was the wisest man in the world. That's what it said about King Solomon, had more wisdom than anybody else. More wisdom, do you get that? So if he has more wisdom than anyone else, have a look what hijacked him. Have a look at this. Now, King Solomon loved many foreign women. Oh, where's the women? What is it with you men? No. King Solomon loved many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughter. He married women from Moab, Ammon, Edom, Sidon. I don't know what he was thinking. And from the Hittites. The Lord, look at this. The Lord clearly instructed the people of Israel, you must not marry them because they will turn your hearts to their gods. Yet Solomon insisted. Everybody say insisted. On loving them anyway. He had 700 wives of royal birth. Hectic. Don't go there. 300 concubines. I don't know. And in fact, they did turn his heart away from the Lord. Do you know my question to us is, what are you insisting on? What is it that you're insisting on? Because at times we all insist on things. I insist on things with the Lord. And I know it's my own stubbornness and my own lack. And I feel like he says, come on. He's taking us onward and upward and further and into more and greater heights. And he says, you cannot insist on things that I never have intended for you to have. He will take care of you. He will be all that you need. He will be more than you need. He will be your comforter, your advocate, your counselor, your standby. You will never be disappointed as you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But we cannot insist on things that he never intended for us to have. If you stop insisting, you work out of a place of peace and rest and no striving. And I want to encourage us, church, do not let comfort hijack your willingness. Do not let fear hijack your willingness. And do not let your own stubbornness and sin hijack your willingness. So how do we combat them? How do we combat this? Number one, how do you combat your comfort? I believe there's one way. There is only one way to combat your comfort. If you're feeling comfortable and cruisy and you're sleeping under a blanket, do you know what? I believe how do you combat that? I believe you realign your alignment. Realign your alignment. Have you been in a car where the alignment is not right? You are driving along the freeway. You are going at 100 kilometers an hour, no faster. And all of a sudden, your wheel starts going this way. And you're like, why is my car pulling? And it's pulling you. And then your wheel is going this way. And you're like, man, it's pulling me. What has happened is the alignment is wrong. But if you get the alignment correct, the car starts to go in the right direction again. It's exactly the same as our lives. If you get the alignment correct, your car starts to move in the right direction. Have a look with me at Isaiah chapter 40. He gives power to the weak. Okay, how good is that? He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths become weak and tired, and young men fall in exhaustion. Can we keep going? Fall in exhaustion. Have you got the next one? But those, it says, but those, oh, there it is. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and they will not faint. Those who wait upon the Lord, those who wait upon the Lord will find new strength. Do you know the only way to realign your alignment is to take your Bible, to sit down, and to read it. If you start to read it, something starts to change on the inside of you. And you go from comfort to conquering. You go from, man, give me a mountain to climb. Because faith starts to come on the inside of you if you take your Bible and if you read it. Do you know, if you want to realign your alignment, if you take some time, those that wait upon the Lord, those who wait upon the Lord, be still and know that he is God. Do you know, church, what that word still means? It means you sink He is God and you are not. Do you know, if we do that, what happens? You realign your alignment. You can't help yourself. You can't be comfortable. You cannot be comfortable because something is happening on the inside of you. I can take my Bible. I can go to my local coffee shop. I can sit there. I can read for like 10 minutes, 20 minutes, and all of a sudden I'm like, man, this is awesome. I feel like I've got something to do. I feel like God's speaking to me. I write it out. I think about it. I talk about it. I meditate upon it. Do you know what, church? The only way to get out of comfort is to start seeking God like you never have, reading the Word of God, talking to the Lord, igniting the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, and pressing into everything that He has for you in Jesus' name. There is a scripture. I forgot to read it. I want to read it to you. It's in Romans 8 and verse 11. Romans 8 and verse 11, look at this. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead, where does He live? No, you have to help me out here. The Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead lives. Who's He live in? In me, in you. Now, if that's true, who believes that? Now, put your hand up. Really, who believes that? Okay, so if that's true, if that scripture's true, I think we need to stop asking what would God do and start asking, well, what should I do? Because if the Spirit of God lives in us, it's not about what God should do. He's done everything. It's about what should I do? And do you know, church, I believe with all of my heart, if we're going to combat comfort, realign your alignment, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll rise up with wings like eagles. They'll run, they'll not be weary, they'll walk, they'll not faint. They'll have new vision, they'll have new insight. Those that be still will know that He is God and He will do something new and fresh in your heart and in your life, in Jesus' name, amen. Number two, if we're going to combat fear, combat comfort, realign your alignment. If we're going to combat fear, I believe we've got to adopt the spirit of faith. Everybody say faith. Can I show you this incredible scripture in Genesis chapter 12? This is the story of Abram, when God calls Abram. Look at this. The Lord said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham departed and as the Lord had instructed, a lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old, never too late. So Abraham departed. He was 75 years old when he left from Haran. He took his wife Sarah, his livestock, everything, and all the people he had taken from his household at Haran. He headed for the land of Canaan. When he arrived in Canaan, Abraham traveled through the land as far as Shechem. There he set up camp. At the time, the area had inhabited the Canaanites. Then, everybody say then. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham. When did the Lord appear? After he had already packed up his stuff, stepped out in faith, had a go, done something he'd never done before, encouraged someone he'd never encouraged before, prayed for someone he'd never prayed for before, shared his faith with someone who's never heard, stepped up in leadership, got a little bit more involved, overcame his fear. How did he overcome his fear? Imagine if God said to you at 75 years of age, pack up your stuff and go. My dad was 80. 80 years of age, my dad, and God said, go to Africa. He packed up his stuff. He came with us. Do you know what? He's now 88, turning 88 in January. Do you know what? He's probably the most loved person in our church. He's called the Irish General because he's from Ireland. Everybody loves him. He's out every single day, Monday to Sunday, counseling and helping people. He's turning 88 in January. Do you know what? If he was to pass on tomorrow, the guy's made history. What is going to change the world? It's the power of your willingness. Do you know what? Combat your fear by stepping out in faith, doing something you've never done before, and then the Lord appears to them. He doesn't appear before you do it. He appears after you do it. And my final thought, if you are going to combat stubbornness and sin, Do you know what I believe you need to learn? You need to learn the power of these five words. Are you ready? These five words are this. Yes, I would love to. Can you say those with me? Yes, I would love to. Imagine when the Holy Spirit prompts you, stop doing that. What are you going to say? Yes, I would love to. Imagine if the Holy Spirit says, man, it's time to step up and get a little bit more involved and start serving in church. What are you going to say?
Yes, I would love to.
Imagine if Thomas after the service says, hey, listen, we just need someone to take a few people home. Help them out today. What are you going to say?
Yes, I would love to.
Imagine tomorrow morning you go back to work and someone's like there and you're like, man, I should tell them about my weekend. I should tell them about church. What are you going to say? Imagine if you go home today and your husband says, could you massage my feet? What are you going to say?
Yes, I would.
Do you know, in all sincerity, I believe the power of those five words. Yes, I would love to. That is what's going to change the world. Yes, I would love to. Solomon didn't. He couldn't combat it. Because he insisted on his own way. So we've got to stop insisting and start saying, yes, I would love to. Noah built an ark. Noah built an ark. Why did he build an ark? Yes, I would love to. Yes, I would love to. The Shumanite woman built a little room on her house. Why did she do that? She said, I want to help. Yes, I would love to. Daniel, he decided not to defile himself by eating everything that everybody else was eating. What was he saying? I'm going to keep my life pure. Because he said these five words. Yes, I would love to. Apostle Paul, he faced shipwreck and beating and torture and challenge and everything. And then he said, in spite of it all, I'm going to keep on going. Because he says these five words. Yes, I would love to. Do you know the list goes on? Everyone in the Bible, five words. Yes, I would love to. Come on, church. I believe if we say these five words, you can combat stubbornness and you can combat sin every time by just committing it to the Lord and saying, yes, I would love to. Let's realign our focus and we will overcome fear. We will overcome comfort. Let's adopt a spirit of faith and we will no longer live under fear. And I believe let's learn the power of those five words. Yes, I would love to. And then I believe stubbornness and sin cannot rule or reign in our life in Jesus' name. Could you stand to your feet, church? Can we worship Jesus together in these last 2 minutes? We've got 2 minutes, two awesome minutes together. Would you do me a favor from the back to the front? Would you lift your hands to heaven? Maybe you've never lifted your hands in worship. Let's worship Jesus. Come on, let's sing this beautiful song out to the Lord Jesus. Amen.